Hare Krishna. So thank you for coming to this class in preparation for Gaur Purnim coming on Sunday. I've been asked to speak on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 5, which is entitled How to Approach God. It's not a very long chapter. It's only six or seven pages long. but it's just philosophy. So it's actually based on the Madhyalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 20. And that describes the Lord's instructing Sanatana Goswami. And it also explains how actually Sanatana Goswami approached the Lord. So we'll go into that pastime a little bit. Excuse me. So we're going to start by reciting the CC Madhyalila chapter 20, text 1. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has unlimited wonderful opulences. By His mercy, even a person born as the lowest of men can spread the science of devotional service. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vande nantad buddhaishvaryam Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum Nityopi yat prasadat syat bhakti shastra pravatakaha Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has unlimited wonderful opulences. By His mercy, even a person born as the lowest of men can spread the science of devotional service. So the most relevant word here for me is nicho. Nicha api. Even a person in the lowest status of life. So in Kali Yuga, we're all born as sudras, the lowest state, even lower than sudras, actually. so this verse is very apt because Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying that by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, even a person born as the lowest of men can spread the science of devotional service. So this chapter is explaining how Sanatana Goswami came to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he approached the Supreme Lord. His brother Rupa Goswami had already left Bengal, Ramakeli, but he'd set aside some treasure, many gold coins, and he divided his wealth very fairly, 50% to the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas engaged in the Lord's service, 25% for his family, and 25% for personal emergencies. And I believe it was at least one, if not two, boats full of gold, of treasure, wealth, whatever. But he was a very intelligent person, Rupa Goswami, so he deposited with a reliable merchant in the local area. And then he went off to meet the Lord, who was going to Vrindavan. But for some reason, Sanatana Goswami didn't leave at the same time. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe he had some duties to perform that he felt he had to do. But in any case, he stayed back. As a result of that, actually he'd lost taste for the service that he was involved in. His service at that time, they actually both were engaged in the service of the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the ruler of Bengal at the time. He was very much appreciated by the Nawab. It's interesting. It's actually in the previous chapter. We'll go through a few of the verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met the brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, in Ramakeli. But then the two brothers returned home. And they devised a scheme whereby they could give up the material activities. They'd been engaged by the Nawab more or less by force because they were so qualified, highly educated, highly capable. And this meant that the Nawab was able to go on expeditions conquering other lands. He had an ambition to conquer Orissa, in actual fact. Rupa and Sanatan, they decided that they wanted to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, even though they actually had a very materially wonderful position. They were wealthy, they had a prestigious situation. And you know, most people would have been very happy with that situation to be in, but they wanted to give up those activities, and so they appointed two brahmanas and paid them a large amount of money to do some yajna. Purashjana, something like that is called, I think. And then also, Rupa Goswami, at the same time, he sent two people to Jagannath Puri to find out when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would actually depart for Vrindavan. And he asked them to come back very quickly. When they had the right information, they would go to Vrindavan to meet the Lord. But Sanatana Goswami was in Ramakeli, and he was thinking, the Nawab is very pleased with me. And I certainly have an obligation. So this is perhaps hinting on why he didn't just go along with Rupa Goswami. It seems like Rupa Goswami had no problem. He just went after dividing all his wealth. So Sanatan Goswami said to himself, if the Nawab somehow or other becomes angry with me, I shall be greatly relieved. That is my conclusion. So the Nawab was very pleased with him, but he wanted to provoke him, it seems, somehow or other. So that he could escape. So what did he do? He sent in a sick note, saying, "I'm sick. I can't work anymore because I'm sick." And so he gave up his government service and didn't go to the court. So whilst he was off sick, he engaged many brahmanas to come and go through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was just relishing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of many, many brahmanas. So he discussed Bhagavatam. And actually, it says here 20 or 30 learned brahmana scholars. The Nawab, he sent his personal physician to go and find, to see what was going on. And the physician came to Sanatan Goswami's house and saw that he was actually fine, no problem with him. So he went back to the Nawab and said, he seems to be all right, his health is good. So the Nawab himself came at that point. As soon as they all saw the Nawab appear, they stood up respectfully and gave him a position of honor. The Nawab said, "I sent my physician to you, and he has reported that you are not diseased. As far as he could see, you are completely healthy." And then he says, I'm depending on you totally. And he described himself as his older brother, as Sanatan Goswami's older brother. He says, "You've spoiled all my activities. What's your intention? Please tell me frankly." Sanatan Goswami replied, "You can no longer expect any service from me. Please arrange for someone else to tend to the management." One phrase sprung to my mind, I don't know why exactly, but came to my mind that Jesus Christ, he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's." it seems here that Sanatan Goswami, he wasn't interested in placating the Nawab, in making him keep happy. He was happy to provoke him into anger, to do something, so that he, I suppose, felt more justified in. So I was just thinking this phrase, "render unto Caesar," basically that's relating to when Jesus was asked by some of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and those in the temple in Jerusalem. He was asked, should we actually pay the taxes to Caesar, the Roman emperor? Or should we not? And he replied with this phrase, "Render unto Caesar," because he said, "Show me what a coin, and then on the coin is a head of Tiberius, I believe it was the emperor at the time." So he says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." So. It just made me think, actually, we have to be careful that we don't just become part of normal society. We shouldn't worry too much if we provoke a reaction. In fact, just as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that actually, if you're getting opposition, that's a success of your preaching. So it's not that we want to be accepted. I mean, of course, we want as many people as possible to accept Krishna consciousness and take it up. But there is a danger that we just become part of the mundane landscape. So this is something we have to avoid. Anyway, that's a slight diversion. So Sanatan Goswami said, "You are the supreme ruler of Bengal and are completely independent. Whenever someone commits a fault, you punish him accordingly." So he was taunting him a little bit. Okay, you do whatever you want, you know. We'll see what happens. Hearing this, the Nawab of Bengal stood up and returned to his home. He ordered the arrest of Sanatan Goswami so that he would not be able to leave. So he was slung in jail. And so he wasn't concerned with that so much. Obviously, he had confidence that somehow or other he was going to be able to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At this time, the Nawab was going to attack the province of Orissa, and he told Sanatan Goswami, "Come along with me." Sanatan Goswami replied, "You are going to Orissa to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, I am powerless to go with you." So he was arrested and kept in prison. And around that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. And the two persons who had been sent by Rupa Goswami, they came and informed Rupa Goswami that the Lord had already departed for Vrindavan. So therefore, he left immediately. But Sanatan Goswami was not there. But Rupa Goswami had given 10,000 gold coins to this merchant. And he informed Sanatan Goswami of this. And he said to him, "Use this money to get out of prison. Somehow or other, get yourself released and come to Vrindavan." And then Rupa and Anupam, the younger brother, went along to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, skipping to chapter 20. Later, Rupa Goswami sent a letter to Sanatan Goswami, informing him of the Lord had arrived in Vrindavan. And so Sanatan Goswami became very pleased. He went to the jail superintendent, who was a meat eater, and he spoke some very flattering words. He said, "Dear sir, you are a saintly person and are very fortunate. You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures, such as the Quran and similar books." Because he was just probably an uneducated person, but he was flattering him. Just like, who was it? Was it Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who said, you know, anyway, one acharya said, "You should just say, 'Oh, you're such a learned person,' and now just forget everything and listen to what I have to say." He said, "If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And he said, Sanatan Goswami said, "I have done much for you. Now I am in difficulty. Please return my goodwill by releasing me." And then he offered him 5,000 gold coins. Now, I looked on the internet at the price of gold. You might be interested to know that there's a five ounce, that 5 ounces is not much, 5 ounce gold coin you can buy for £1,400, £1,400, which is quite a lot of money for 5 ounces. And he offered him 5,000. Because the superintendent, the jailkeeper, was hesitating a little bit, he offered him another 2,000, making it 7,000. And actually, I calculated that if it was 7,000 at £1,400, that's, you're talking about like £10 million. It's a lot of money. So it just proves how detached Sanatana Goswami was. Even actually, of course, we don't really know about the value of things then and now and like that. So, I mean, even if it was only like 1% of that value, it would be £100,000. So, so that is the value of actually taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That it's, we should be prepared to give everything. He was actually prepared to give everything he had. He wasn't, he didn't want to retain. Of course, there was another 3,000 maybe with the merchant, the grocer, that been, was looking after it. But it's far more important for us to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord than to have even £10 million. Of course, if we use it in Krishna's service, it's good. But if it's a choice between the two, then we should just take the lotus feet of the Lord. But the jailkeeper, he said, "I'm prepared to release you, but I'm afraid of the government." You can understand, you know, he could be punished himself if he just let him go. So Sanatana Goswami devised a plan for him. He says, just say that I needed to go to the river to evacuate. And then while you turned around, weren't looking, I jumped in the river. And because I was wearing iron shackles, he must have drowned. So in this way, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Goni Tai Ki Jai. So, anyway, he was still at the point of just offering 5,000, the jailkeeper was still unconvinced. So he gave him another 2,000, making 7,000 in all. And then the jailkeeper's desire to be rich overcame him, and he accepted the proposal. So he cut the shackles, and Sanatana Goswami left. And he crossed the Ganges. Then he, because he was a fugitive from the government, he went through a dangerous jungle and through Bihar. And eventually he and his servant came to an inn, a hotel, and he stayed there. And the innkeeper, he had a friend who was an astrologer, and he told him that actually this man has 8 gold coins, which actually Ishan, his servant, had. And at that time, I think Sanatana Goswami wasn't aware of that, or at least not conscious of it. So the landlord was a bit of a dacoit, and he decided that he would treat him very nicely. Then in the night, he would kill them and take the money. He was treating, he says, just you go to the river and bathe, and then we'll cook you dinner and everything, and then you'll have a nice bed. And he was being very nice. And there's a saying that too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So Sanatana Goswami, he thought, yes, something not quite right here. He was a very intelligent person. He says, something not right. So he was thinking about this, and he said to his servant, he said, do you have some money on you? And he said, "Yes, I have 7 gold coins." He kept one behind his back. He didn't want to give everything up. So Sanatan Goswami, he understood what was going on, that the innkeeper was actually going to kill him and take the money. So he went to the innkeeper he said to Ishan, his servant, he says, "Why have you brought this death knell with you?" And then he took the 7 gold coins in his hands and went to the landlord. And he spoke to him as follows: "I have these 7 gold coins with me. Please accept them. And from a religious point of view, please get me across that hilly tract of land." He says, I can't actually go through the main road because, you know, the government officers will arrest me and throw me in jail. So the innkeeper thought this was a good plan. He would get the 7 gold coins. Actually, he said, "Before you offered them, I already knew that there were 8 gold coins in your servant's possession." Uh-oh. So Ishan, his servant, was holding one back. So he admitted that he would have killed them that night. He decided not to do that, and just to help them, to help them pass through that dangerous forest. And eventually, Sanatan Goswami came to a place where he met his brother-in-law. It was a place called Hajipura. And there was a gentleman called Srikanta who was married to Sanatan Goswami's sister. And he was engaged in government service there. Srikant had 300,000 gold coins with him, so he was a very wealthy person. And he tried to persuade Sanatan Goswami to stay. He said, "Just stay here, you know, we'll look after you." But like Hanuman, who was on his way to save Lakshman when he was struck down by Indrajit. He refused to rest. He says, no, I have my mission. So Sanatan Goswami was the same. He says, "No, I can't stay here for another moment." And he decided to leave. But Srikant gave him a very nice woolen shawl or blanket. And it was so he went with that, and then he went to Varanasi, where the Lord happened to be at that time, and with this woolen blanket, and then he knew that the Lord would be staying in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. So he went there, and he was outside the house, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Chandrasekhar, he says, "Look outside. Is there a what was his?" He said, "There is a devotee at your door. Please call him in." Chandrasekhar went outside, but he couldn't see a Vaishnava anywhere near his door. So he went back in and said, "There's only a Muslim mendicant there with a big beard and long hair and very scruffy looking." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, "Please bring him in." And so Chandrasekhar Acharya brought Sanatan Goswami in. He said, "The Lord is calling you." So Sanatan Goswami was obviously very pleased to hear this order, and he entered Chandrasekhar's house. And then when they saw each other, they immediately embraced, and the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatan Goswami, who was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, "Oh, my Lord, do not touch me." The Lord asked him to shave up tidy himself up again. So he went, but Tapan Mishra offered him a new set of clothes, but Sanatan Goswami refused it. He didn't want. He just said, "Give me some old cloth, and I'll use that." But he still had this woolen blanket, and so the Lord was actually looking at this blanket, and then he didn't say anything. So then Sanatan Goswami he went to the river to bathe, and he saw a very poor mendicant on the riverbank, and he had an idea. He thought, "I'm sure the Lord's not so happy with this woolen blanket that I have." So he said to the person on the riverbank, who was actually then just washing and drying a tattered old quilt, and he said to him, "Please, sir, will you exchange this old quilt for my blanket here?" And he thought he was joking. He thought that he was just taking the mickey, as we say these days. But he said, no, "I'm serious. Please, I don't want this blanket. It's not good for me." So they exchanged, and the mendicant was very happy. And he went back, and the Lord was very, very pleased with him. And at that point, he said, let's see what he said. I mean, they said lots of things, but yeah, so he exchanged the blanket. And the Lord said, "Where is your woolen blanket?" Sanatan Goswami then narrated the whole story to the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "I have already deliberately considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment? After vanquishing a disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain. It is contradictory to practice Madhukari and at the same time wear a valuable blanket. One loses his spiritual strength by doing this, and one will also become an object of jokes." So I was thinking, it's like if Godruma Bihari, who visits people's houses, if he went in a Lamborghini or a Porsche or something like that, and a very smart suit, was it Armani, Gucci, something like that, suit, and knocked on somebody's door, they think, "Well, what's this?" You know, they wouldn't be so inclined to give any donation or even accept what he had to say. So it's like that. So we should lead a simple life. We shouldn't, like as elsewhere, I think to Raghunath Das Goswami. Actually, I've got it noted here, what the Lord said to Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, well, first of all, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, "Mahaprabhura Bhakta Ganera Vairagya Pradhan Yaha Deke Priti Haya Gora Bhagavan." Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. So renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Then he said, that's in the Anchalila 6220, and then a bit later in the same chapter, He says, Gramya kata na shunibe, gramya vata na kahibe. Bala na kahibe, ara bala na paribe. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. And he said, Jivara lalase ye iti utadoi, shishno da parayana krishna na hipoi. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. So that's one of the keys to approaching the Lord. We have to give up our material attachments and not dress very nicely, nor relish very palatable foods. It's pretty difficult actually here to follow that. But anyway, that's what he said. We can think about it. I suppose if we consider that, you know, this taste is Krishna, this Krishna is the all-palatable, most tasty person, then if we really have that consciousness, then it's okay, I hope. Sanatana Goswami started to inquire. So this is another principle, to inquire submissively. And he said the famous words, Ke ami, kene amaya jara tapatraya, iha nahi jani kemane hita haya. Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? So, ke ami. So this is, we should be asking questions like this. Why am I suffering? Why are the threefold miseries giving me so much trouble? Who actually am I? And then the Supreme Lord, he replied with another very famous verse. I don't know if anybody can think, many verses he spoke, but there's one very frequently quoted verse. Jivera swarupoi, Krishnera nityadas, Krishnera tatashto shakti beda bed prakash. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. So, so he inquired very submissively. So this is, as I said, another key to not only giving up material attachments, but then inquiring submissively, why am I suffering? What is my position? Who am I? Like that. There's a lot more which could be said. There's not time, unfortunately. But the Lord, he, just to come to the main point, which is in this chapter of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to approach the Lord. The Lord described a parable. He said, a learned astrologer came to the house of a poor man, and seeing his distressed condition, questioned him. The astrologer asked, why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere. Just as the words of the astrologer Sarvagya gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literatures advise one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he's in a distressed material condition. So the Lord is providing the means by which we can approach him, the Vedic literatures. He said, by the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established. Similarly, the Vedic literature advises us that our real connection is with Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he said that you have to find this treasure. If you dig towards the southern side, the wasps and drones will rise and you will not get your treasure. So up in the ashram, I don't know, some of you may have seen, there's a little notice saying, don't open this window, wasps. In the morning, there's wasps. Because wasps will come and sting you. So that's on the southern side. If you dig on the western side, there is a ghost who will create such a disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. If you dig on the northern side, there's a big black snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. However, if you dig up a small quantity of dirt on the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure. So, I think this is also in the Nectar of Devotion, is it? Yeah, this is explained. So in the purport to verse 135 of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains that the mystic yoga process is compared to a black snake that devours the living entity and injects him with poison. So mystic yoga should be avoided. So that was on the southern side, I think. And so the other sides, the southern side represents fruit of activity, karma kanda, which ends in material pain. So if we're just trying to enjoy this world, it's going to end in material pain. So that is the southern side. The western side represents jnana kanda, the process of mental speculation, sometimes called siddhi kanda. The northern side represents the speculative method, sometimes known as the mystic yoga system. It is only the eastern side, which is devotional service, that enables one to attain life's real goal. So you'll find this at the 130, 135, if you want to read all about that, more details. But since we've run out of time, I'll stop there. But basically, that is in the chapter 5 of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, what it's saying, that actually the way to approach the Supreme Lord is through pure devotional service, and there's no other way. Not through jnana, not through yoga, or mystic yoga, and not through karma kanda, through enjoyment, like that. So that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, devotional service to Lord Krishna, Sri Radha and Krishna. That's what he taught to Sanatana Goswami. So I'll finish there. If there are any questions or comments. Yes, Manaji.
Some question. I just need clarification. You said that we should not dress very opulently, but like for women in certain books that you read, or you know, by Srila Prabhupada disciples, and they also tell us that Prabhupada wanted women to always look attractive, like especially if they're married. Mm-hmm. So in that case, like, what if Krishna has given you opulence? Can you not use it for Krishna's service?
Yeah, you can, of course. Yeah, I mean, the Lord was speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a renunciate. So he said, should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. So that's for a renunciate, definitely. Of course, the gopis, they dress very nicely for Krishna's pleasure. So if it's genuinely for Krishna's pleasure, then fine. And if you have opulence and you use it for Krishna's pleasure, that's also fine. But we have to be careful that that is our motivation. There is no other motivation involved.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other points? Okay, we'll finish there then. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.